A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on November 10, 1991, in the series Only a Poem Will Do, entitled When You Lose Your Balance. The scripture reading is Psalm 13. The text for the sermon is Psalm 13, verse 1. Copyright Grand Valley State University.
Today we move to another section of the Old Testament. We've been there for a long time, really, trying to figure out the ways of God with humankind, the manner in which God is engaged with human history, those early stories that deal with the great universal themes, the institution of the covenant, the election and calling of a special people for the purposes of God to bring light to the nations. The prophetic word that's heard within the community of faith, God addressing God's people, the fact that we don't live by sight and objective proof and verification, but finally have to make our choice, live by faith or live in darkness. But the people of Israel were a people that lived by faith, even in the darkness. They were a people that believed that their human existence in its totality was engaged with by God, not only in the sunlight, but also in the darkness. Not only when they were victorious, but also when they suffered defeat. The Israelites, in the whole of their human existence, understood themselves in direct relationship to God and always in conversation with God. There's a wonderful healthiness about the Old Testament, much more wholesome, I think, than often we in the Christian church have experienced in our relationship with God. The Jew could praise God and could rant and rave at God, could clench his fist at God and could experience the wonderful peace of God. There was this bringing of the whole of life into the presence of God. There was the living of the whole gamut of human experience consciously before the face of God. And so, in the Psalms, we have Israel's hymn book. In the Psalms, we have those songs of faith by which they gave expression to the depths of their human experience. Because human experience is not all even. It's not all the same. Human experience has its light and its shadow, its ups and its downs, its mountain peaks and its deep valleys, the times of brilliance and brightness, and the times when the darkness is so thick you can cut it. And in the depths of human experience, there are times when only a poem will do. We simply lack words to give some prosaic description of those deep feelings, emotions, when we need a poet to give us words to bring to expression that which is inexpressible on our own strength. There are times when only a poem will do to give vent to those deep groanings within which make us stammer and stutter, when we need a poet to give us words in order that we might hear ourselves reflecting our own experience, that until we can articulate it, ravishes within us. Sometimes only a poem will do And the Psalms were the poems of Israel, the poems that gave expression to the multiplicity of human experience. Sometimes we need a poem when we lose our balance. And we do lose our balance. Walter Brueggemann, the fine Old Testament commentator, in his study of the Psalms, categorizes them in three columns, which are not rigid, but which nonetheless, I believe, are helpful to have us read the Psalms with some understanding. He says that these three categories of Psalms are reflective of three states of human experience. There's that state of orientation. That is the state when the world seems well-ordered and our life is running off apace according to the plan. Orientation, when it seems that the sun rises and sets and the birds sing, the sky is blue and the sun shines brightly on our pathway. We've set ourselves a course and we pursue it. We have a certain security about it, a certain sense of serenity in our lives. Orientation. Psalms that speak of orientation are probably our most beloved psalms. They're probably the psalms we've memorized. We like life well settled, don't we? We like to know where we're going and that we have the wherewithal to do what has to be done in order to keep life rather neat and well-ordered. Psalms of orientation speak about a world that's settled and a life that is moving rather nicely through its course. But that isn't all there is to being human. That's not all there is to our human experience. Sometimes that orientation moves imperceptibly or suddenly into disorientation. Just ask Magic Johnson. Is there any person that might be named more universally across this nation as one who is a very beautiful human being, seemed to have a kind of charmed life, signed by that magnificent smile that lights up not only his face, but the whole environment where he is? One tremendously gifted, wearing that giftedness with humility and humanity, and with a future that was golden, until suddenly the medical report comes back positive, and he has the HIV virus. And orientation moves to disorientation, and the cosmos becomes chaos, and the well-ordered world and the well-thought-out plan suddenly becomes dust and ashes, and there is darkness, and there is fear. and in the darkness. We have no words except the words of the poet. And sometimes only a poem will do. Nobody knows the trouble I see. Nobody knows but Jesus. Sometimes I feel like a poor motherless child. And all of those great Negro spirituals that gave voice to the oppression and the suffering of the black people in the time of their slavery and have become the inheritance of the Christian church, where we've all been able to find some release in that expression of deep trouble, crying to the one who is present in his absence, to the eternal God. Life moves from orientation to disorientation, and thank God there are psalms that give expression to that disorientation. O Lord, how long? How long? Will you quite forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Sometimes the poet gives us the words to express that deep dis-ease in our being that cries out for the God who once was present and now is absent. The Song Book of Israel is a very honest book because it brings to expression the whole gamut of human experience. Jesus knew that truth, for when he was suspended between heaven and earth and the excruciating pain of crucifixion, he took to himself not some theological definition, not some great creedal expression, but he went to his hymn book and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me and art so far from saving me, from heeding my groans? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou dost not answer, and in the nighttime I get no respite. In thee our fathers put their trust. They trusted, and thou didst rescue them. But I am a worm, not a man, abused by all, scorned by all people. Upon thee was I cast at birth, in my mother's womb thou hast been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. How long, O Lord, how long? Have you known disorientation? Have you walked through the darkness? Have you experienced the absence of God? Have you taken Israel's hymn book and found there just the words that said what you were feeling? Sometimes only a poem will do when you lose your balance. And isn't it good to know that even when you lose your balance, and there seems to be no light on the horizon to guide your steps, that you are not without the circle of the experience of God's people. That's what I like about the Old Testament, and that's what I like about the Psalms, and I think that's why we all love them. Because there's not an experience that hasn't been brought to expression. And these beautiful utterances that cry from the depths. Psalms, the voice of the believing community that lives its life consciously before the face of God and knows even in the darkness that God is present, if experienced only as absence. In the church, I don't know if we've always been honest about the negativity of human experience and the fragility of our human situation. Nancy is my newspaper clipper, and she clipped for me a picture of our friend Bob Schuller, who returned to his pulpit last week after his serious accident and brain surgery in the Netherlands. I know Bob well and respect him very much and appreciate the ministry that he's had, helpful to millions of people. But I couldn't help but think when I saw this clipping last week, knowing I was going to be preaching this today, I couldn't help but feel some conflict. I probably shouldn't hold anybody accountable for the quotes that appear in the press, but in this press release, at least, there was this quote: "Nothing could depress me. Nothing frightened me. It was a terrific experience." I don't believe that. I don't believe that. And if my friend were here, I would look him in the eye and I would say to him, "I don't believe that." If that's true, then many of us are set outside the pale of Christian experience. It's not the way the Psalms are written. The psalmist can express honestly the fact that sometimes he's afraid, sometimes cast down, sometimes crushed in spirit, sometimes feeling simply forsaken. I'm glad for the Psalms, particularly when I lose my balance and know that I'm not alone. The psalmist who begins with that piercing question, "How long?" after he makes his complaint, concludes the psalm, "But for my part I trust in thy true love. My heart shall rejoice, for thou hast set me free. I will sing to the Lord who has granted all my desire." I need the psalms when my life loses balance, not only to assure me that there have been others of God's people there before me, but also that it is possible to move through the darkness and experience again the touch of grace. Nancy and I were invited to a dinner party Friday evening of a relatively small group of people who were privileged to meet Laszlo Tokush. December 2 years ago in Time magazine, there was a description of Pastor Tokush, who was a pastor of a Hungarian Reformed congregation in Transylvania, which is really ethnically a part of Hungary, but after the Second World War, actually after 1920 and then again in 1945, was given to Romania. The Hungarian population of that area under the government of Romania has been a persecuted minority. It was Laszlos Tokics, who was the Reformed pastor, who had spoken out against the Romanian regime, who was the target of the security forces to come after him and to do away with him. He was the one in the city of Timisoara, where the village literally ringed his church with their bodies. Remember the story? And the security forces approached, and they began to fire, and they massacred the children. Remember the story? He was the one. That massacre became the catalyst that led to the Romanian Revolution. He was given an honorary degree Friday by Hope College. And he told of the situation in his land right now, which continues to be one of severity and of great difficulty. But I couldn't help but feel that through the suffering of one like that, who is great integrity and who has made a heroic stand in the name of people and in the name of God, I could not help but feel that he and his people have plumbed a depth that I really don't know. I'm not going to ask God to suffer. I'm not going to ask God to drag us all into the depths of some valley, but I do have to say this, that what those people have gone through, when their life seems to be in free fall, where the intensity of their suffering has also been the occasion of a deep experience of the presence and reality of God. The kind of experience when only a poem will do, when only a song will do. Don't you remember 2 years ago those scenes in Eastern Europe? The candles and the songs, the singing. Only a song would do. So Friday evening, there were some Hungarians there, and in their native tongue they sang their national anthem. And there was passion. There was passion. Kind of reality that speaks of something very deep, because God is the God who meets us even in the absence, and is one whom we address even in the darkness. And it doesn't really have to be as dramatic as the story of Laszlo Tokics. I got a letter this week which makes me believe there is a God. A letter that has to do with what I was going to preach on today, quite unbeknown to the author of the letter, who has given me permission just to share a couple of lines which may give just another context for feeling unbalanced and finding it grace. She says that her upbringing was quite different than anything she's ever experienced at Christ Community. Not a home that taught Christianity as being a joyful experience, but one that fostered fear of God and created dread and resentment in me. I want you to know that your messages have rocked my foundations and have caused me to question everything I've ever been taught or ordered is more correct, ordered to believe. And yet at some level, I'm aware that I have always felt that what you're saying is true. I may not reach the same conclusions as you. I'm not sure I'm ready for that, although I may be someday. But at least I'm questioning, and all the while reshaping my relationship with God. And then she found that only a poem would do when she lost her balance. The poem is called Balancing Act. I must be off balance, as between steps, when neither left nor right foot quite supports me to move. As you and I, friend, get closer and closer to the truth, I find it safer and safer to be off balance. And so we grow. Thanks, Dick, for helping me feel free to question. I've always been afraid to do so until coming to Christ Community Church. It is here that I have, thank God, lost my footing, only to find it more secure than ever before. Thank God. Sometimes losing one's balance is simply the prelude to grace, because God will never leave us in free fall forever. And finally, there will be a poet that will give us a song of praise in our heart to the God who was with us in the whole of our lives. Thank God.